The Trail Network podcast is brought to you by Sandy Boy Productions.
But I remember writing my essay for my residency application about how crewing at an ultra is like doing emergency medicine, where essentially you are following your runner along or volunteering, you know, you're receiving runners into this staging area more or less, and you are triaging their needs to stabilize them to like get back out onto the trail or determine that they're like too sick or too injured or whatever it is. But it's like this whole concept of triaging and stabilizing a person to get them to where they actually need to be long term.
Hi friends, super excited to bring on Maddie Giegold, Chief Emergency Medicine Resident at UCSF and a trail runner. She's passionate about wilderness medicine and event medicine. In this episode, we talk about experiences with medical direction in races such as Mammoth Trail Fest and the Lululemon Further event. She will also be at Western States and Broken Arrow this year. We talk about the challenges of medical response in remote areas where resources are limited and her love of merging her life as a trail runner with emergency medicine. She may secretly be doing my dream job. She says she loves trail running, gravel cycling, jumping into cold bodies of water, sleeping outdoors, flowers, and double fisting ice cream and her small family of animals. And she's a junior ranger at 19 national parks and wilderness areas. How cool is that? Without further ado, we bring you Maddie Giegold. I'm your host, Katie Asmuth, and today I'm joined by Maddie Giegold. Hi, Maddie.
Hi.
I cannot wait to share your story with our guests today. You are a friend, you're a teammate, a some work all play teammate, an emergency department physician. But I want to explore more about your involvement with trail running. So first, tell me a little bit about yourself. Where do you call home?
Originally near Chicago. I'm from the greater Chicagoland area, but I've lived all over. I went to undergrad in the Northeast, and I did med school in the South, and I lived in California before med school, and I'm now out here in Fresno finishing up my emergency medicine residency. So I'm currently residing in the Central Valley.
Yes, you are. Okay, so I can't wait to hear more about this and this journey, but you really have been all over the United States with your school.
Yeah.
And where are you allowed to announce where the next plan is? Is that a public thing? Okay, do you want to tell us where Maddie will be next?
I am moving with my amazing hubs to Seattle next. We're super, super excited. I got a job in a community emergency department in Seattle, so I'm just going to go and be a doctor in the emergency department and get my first real adult job, work less, get paid more. Very excited.
Okay. I want to hear about how you became a trail runner and what your goals are with trail running.
Ooh, okay. So I actually was a swimmer in my past life. I swam in high school and then I swam for part of college. I was supposed to be on the team for all 4 years, but actually, like 3 weeks into my freshman year of college, I got into this horrible mountain biking accident and I broke both of my collarbones and my shoulder blade, and it kind of ruined swimming for me, and it just wasn't really fun anymore. So I did 2 seasons, and then I left the team, and I started running to stay active, but it was very leisurely. I would run a couple times a week. And then when I studied abroad in Spain, I was really using it to explore where I was living and explore the neighborhoods around me. And I would run when I would travel to other cities. And so that's really when I started to fall in love with running, because I actually used to hate running a lot. I like despised it. Our coach would make us run 2 miles in high school for swimming. And I would run with like a hoodie and a water bottle in my little kangaroo pouch, and I thought I was gonna die. So it was really not my favorite thing in the world. But then when I used it to explore new places, I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. And then when I moved to Atlanta for medical school, I was roommates initially with my now husband, who was very big into the trail and ultra scene in the Southeast and in the North Georgia mountains. And so we kind of like, we fell in love on the trails in Georgia, and he took me trail running all over the state, and we would drive to Tennessee and to Alabama and do all these races. And that's really where I like fell in love with trails. And I was not the best student ever. And so I would get very antsy in class, and I was like on Instagram seeing all these profiles of all these professional runners. And I was like, oh my God, this is a thing that people do. And so actually that's when I started being coached by Megan, because I reached out to her because she was in med school at the time. And I was just like, oh, sliding into her DMs, like, how do you do this as a med student, but also being a trail runner? And I'm like, not fast, but I am very enthusiastic. So she started coaching me then. And then coming up to California was really exciting, because the Sierras are just like a couple hours from our door. And I just love exploring the mountains. And so that's like, mostly my goals are to run to alpine lakes so that I can swim in them. And I've like had a hard time running through residency, because residency is hard. And also in the ER, we have no like regular schedule, and my circadian rhythm is like royally effed. So, I do what I can right now. I have run a couple 50Ks, and I would love to race again. It's been a long time since I've raced an ultra.
Okay, I love this. There's so many things I want to touch on there, but I will say I have had the privilege of running to an alpine lake and jumping in the water with you, which has been really fun. It's been wonderful getting to know you in Mammoth Lakes. So I'm curious about, and I think a lot of listeners will understand that trying to juggle running and being a professional, working full time, it's hard.
Yes.
It's really hard.
Yes.
And you're trying. You're like doing your best. I think the thing that's really interesting with you is that you're taking the love of the sport and melding it with your love of medicine. And that's why I wanted to bring you on the show today, because to this day, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I have never heard somebody talk about the medical side of races and the medical logistics. And I'm also in medicine as a nurse practitioner, so this obviously interests me. I used to work in the emergency room back in the day and love being a first responder. But I am really curious for you, generally, your fascination with working on medical response during races, specifically ultramarathons. And what spurred this interest? How did this come up? And just wanted to talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah. Mildly long-winded answer to this question is that when I was in med school, I was deciding if I wanted to go into emergency medicine or family medicine. And I have a very short attention span, and I really like doing procedures. And so I ended up picking emergency medicine for other various reasons. But I remember writing my essay for my residency application about how crewing at an ultra is like doing emergency medicine, where essentially you are following your runner along, or volunteering, you know, you're receiving runners into this staging area more or less, and you are triaging their needs to stabilize them to like get back out onto the trail, or determine that they're like too sick or too injured or whatever it is. But it's like this whole concept of triaging and stabilizing a person to get them to where they actually need to be long term, which obviously in races is like back out onto the trail. And so there are a lot of parallels between working in the emergency department and running ultras or working ultras that I think are super fun and really exciting. It's fast paced, except when it's not. But then, you know, when something happens, like some things can be really big deals and scary, but like being the person to like keep your cool and respond to those things is very, I love it. I really do. And so I moved to Fresno and started residency in the pandemic. So it was kind of like a year away from racing for everybody and events for everybody. And then my program, our emergency medicine residency program has for however many years done the medical direction for the Two Cities Marathon, which is our marathon here in Fresno and in Clovis. And so my second year of residency, I got involved with helping out with medical direction. And so there's all sorts of stuff that goes into it, like, you know, the race directors have in their, they do a bunch of events, but in their garage, they have like all of the stuff that they need to supply the five different medical tents that are on the course. And so, you know, starting a couple months ahead of time, we're doing things like going through and making sure that we have everything for every tent, or like going back through notes from the previous year where we're like, oh, you know, we had Vaseline, but we had no way to give it out to people. So now we need like tongue depressors to hand it out. And so that's kind of a piece of it, is the planning for like the on-course stuff that happens. There are protocols that we write and revise for when runners have specific complaints, or spectators too. I think it's kind of, you know, it's easy to forget that there are spectators there too, and things can go wrong. Mm-hmm. We think about, you know, especially after the Boston bombing, we think about what would happen in a mass casualty incident. And maybe it's not a bombing, but maybe it's a driver who runs over the course or something. What do we do in that situation? And then we also work with our local ambulance company to have an ambulance that's stationed at the finish line. And so we kind of have the scope of practice of things that we can do on the course. And then we also have the ambulance that's there to do a little bit more than what we're capable of doing just by, you know, physically where we are and the equipment that we have with us. And yeah, it's like coordinating all of that. It's recruiting volunteers to work at the aid stations. And it's really fun here for the marathon. We have a bunch of our nurses and paramedics in the area who also come and help to volunteer, which is really fun. And so you get to meet people across different specialties and different disciplines. So that was kind of, that marathon was really the first exposure that I had to medical direction for an event. And so I've done that for the past 3 years. It takes place every November. And then more specifically, we have, so my program is a 4-year program, and emergency medicine residencies are either 3 or 4 years. And so the 4-year programs typically have some extra time built in for like electives, or what we call our area of concentration, where we have a set amount of time each year to dedicate to a project, essentially. And so I'm kind of splitting my time between some wilderness medicine stuff that we have through our EM program. And then I also was like, well, I like this. I like to do the med direction for the marathon, and I would love to go play outside. So I wonder if I could figure out a way to do this for any ultras. And Megan Roche is, who's my coach, is also the research director for Western States. And so I asked her if she would put me in touch with Andy Pasternak, he's the medical director for States. And I just kind of sent him an email and I was like, hey, can I help you out? And I did that with a couple of other people, like John Anderson at Broken Arrow. So I'll be there in June. Mike McMahon, who works the Mammoth Trail Fest. And yeah, they were all very welcoming. And so I've kind of weaseled my way into these events. And then, because I had already reached out to Andy when Further came along, he actually invited me to come as a volunteer to help work the event. And so that's how I got involved with Further.
Okay, yeah, I want to talk about, so we're going to put a pin on that because that's your most recent involvement in races. So yes. I do want to talk about that. I wanted to mention, so my first introduction to ultra running was actually working in aid station in the medic tent. And at the time I was working in the emergency room at LA County General. And I remember I didn't know anything about ultra running. It was at Angeles Crest 100. I eventually, like 2 or 3 years later, ended up racing that as my first 100 miler. But I wanted to do it because I was just so curious. I wanted to know like what went down during races. And I just wanted to study what everybody else is doing, right? So it was kind of selfish too in that way. But I wanted to get involved in a race. And so I chose the medic tent because I was a nurse and I, at the time, wanted to, you know, be able to do more, like offer something I was able to be helpful in. So I remember thinking to myself, and I'm curious of your thoughts on this, that there was, it was pretty bare bones. At least this was Angeles Crest 100, right? But I remember thinking, yes, like, these people are so dehydrated. Why can't I just, yeah, put an IV in them? Or why can't I just have albuterol ready for you? If you're like wheezing and you have asthma, I'm going to give you some albuterol. Why can't I have this ready to go for you? Why can't I have my own little pharmacy? If somebody signs a waiver, why can't I give this to you? It was interesting to me that there was a lot of barriers to medical practice during a race.
Yeah.
I'm curious if you could speak a little bit to that and to the extent of how much we help runners in that situation. So if you could speak to that.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of it kind of has to do with, like, most of the stuff that you're able to do at a medical tent in most events is essentially BLS or basic life support, right? Like, you can, because part of it is that you're just so limited by the information that you can get, right? So, you know, at Further, for example, they had an entire research team, and they were doing blood work anyway. And so we had access, if we needed to assess people's electrolytes through blood work, right? But, like, in the middle of Angeles Crest, like, you can't do that. And so I think because part of it is that you're just so limited by what data you have the person in front of you that you can look at and make an assessment. Like, I can look at their tongue and see that they're very dry, or I can feel their pulse and I can know that their heart rate is like 150. But other than that, our data is super limited. And so part of medical direction is also knowing when a person needs to actually go to the hospital to get more intensive care, because, like, out in the wilderness, you can't really do very much anyways. And this is actually a very cool thing that I love, like, particularly with ultras. So I love wilderness medicine. And so my program, the kind of the other half of this area of concentration that I'm doing is working with a bunch of the rangers in Sequoia and Kings Canyon National Parks in Yosemite. And we essentially put on this course for advanced life support practitioners who can carry all of these medications within the parks. And we do medical direction for them too. And so this doing medical direction for ultras in particular is like this really neat mesh of wilderness medicine and urban medicine. Mm-hmm. And event medicine. And so it's very much like finding the balance of what's appropriate, because if you're starting to reach for like an IV, right, for fluids, or if you're starting to think about certain medications, then chances are that person is sicker than you initially thought, and they really shouldn't be in the woods anyways.
Right. Well, and WADA says you can't actually,
and also
compete.
That.
So yeah, just to make sure that the audience knows that you actually can't compete if you had an IV.
Right.
And actually, I think there's like a rule maybe several days before you're not allowed to have an IV before your competition, which I thought was really interesting when I came into the sport, when I was, you know, in emergency medicine going, why these people are dehydrated after their sport? Why can't I give them an IV? Or like after they finish the race? No, you still can't. And it's just really interesting. So, you have to actually be in a hospital setting, or a clinic setting in order to receive it. And, and I think it's to your point about we just can't monitor folks the way we want to in medicine. Yeah.
And really, like, what we're there for are the really simple things that we can fix very easily, like chafing, right? Like, I can give you Vaseline. I can fix that for you, right? And the life-threatening things, right? Like, you are hypoglycemic and I can help you take oral sugar or eat a gel or whatever. Or you're having an anaphylactic reaction to a bee, right? I can help you with that. I can give you Epi, or I can help you use your EpiPen. And those are the things that the medical tents are the best at doing. And it's kind of all of those things in between that there actually becomes a lot of judgment call about where to dispo this patient. And here we are back at this idea of like, what is their disposition? Are they okay to go back on the course, or do they need to go to the hospital? So in emergency medicine, disposition is key, right? Like, somebody comes into the hospital and we think about, okay, do they need to be admitted or can they go home? And so out on the trail, it's that exact thing. Can they keep going, or do we need to transport them to somewhere else.
Right. And I know that the goal is to keep people on the trail, right?
Like, yes.
I know everyone will do everything to be able to keep somebody running, keep somebody racing.
Yeah.
And it is really I can imagine it being frustrating for crew if medics are saying, no, this isn't appropriate, that sort of thing. Also, maybe a little bit of a relief for crew going, I'm glad we're not making those decisions.
Yeah.
But there's a professional here to help, take our runner off course if needed. So,
yeah, but I do think it's like a really interesting extra little piece that people who are working in a medical tent in a race kind of, you know, they also, most of these people are also runners or involved in or like sports or whatever it is. And so there is that bias of like, okay, we're here specifically in a race or specifically in a sporting event. Like, we also want you to be able to keep competing. And so how can we do that safely? So yeah, it's like, it's very complex and really fun.
I am so excited to share that the Trail Network is supported by Osprey Packs, the premier pack company and creators of my personal favorite trail running pack, the Dyna 6. I've used the same Dyna 6 for the past 7 years without anything breaking. I've taken it on long days in the mountains, and I've done races in it, including the CCC 100-kilometer race at UTMB. All their packs are extremely comfortable and have top-notch durability. I'm so grateful to our friends at Osprey for supporting our podcast. Go check them out at osprey.com or at your favorite retail store.
Okay, so I said I was going to put a pin on it. I do want to talk about further. You were just coming off the 6-day Lululemon event that one of our own hosts, Leah Yingling, was interviewed at a previous podcast. As hopefully our listeners listened to that one. If you haven't listened, give it a listen. But Maddie, you were there. I want to talk to you a little bit about your role at Further and how you got involved.
Yeah. So I was a medical volunteer. So I did not help out with the medical direction. So like all of the planning that went into it. So the three medical directors were Scott Goldberg, Andy Pasternak, and Emily Krause. And they are all super cool. And just like, as being somebody who's interested in medical direction, having the three of them spearheading the whole thing was very, very cool.
They're the superstars.
They are. And like, so Andy invited me to come join.
Who's the medical director of Western States.
Yeah. And so we had already been in touch about me joining him for Western States in June, which I'm super excited about. And I am like so grateful to him for inviting me out to Further, and it's like, he's such a joy. And the three of them, Andy was actually mentioning this like right away when I got there, but they all have very different experiences. So Scott Goldberg is an EM doc out of Boston, and he does medical direction for like Boston Marathon and New York City and Burning Man, like all of these huge, huge events. Andy obviously does Western States. He's done states for many years at this point. And then Emily is one of the research directors at States with Megan Roche. And she is a sports medicine doctor out of Stanford. And she specializes in particular in female athletes. And so they all, and Andy is a family medicine doc in Reno. And I think he like also caters to a lot of runners in the area there. So they
that is
all
a powerhouse, right?
Yeah.
Like all of those people, when I think of event medicine, that's what I think. Those are the people I think of. So
And you also, and like each of them brought a different perspective and a really specific skill set to this event that like any problem that came up, somebody knew what to do. And like someone had really specialized training or knowledge about those things.
Okay, so let's get an example.
Yeah. So, first off, we were pretty lucky. It was like a very low key event from a medical perspective, which was just amazing. We were seeing certain wear and tear from a musculoskeletal perspective. And so Emily was really, really great about doing pretty in-depth evaluations of like, you know, is this a strain or is this maybe a tendon injury or is this kind of a bigger bony injury that we need to be concerned about, and doing all these specific exam maneuvers. And she was helping with doing KT taping. And I was learning a ton from her, like specifically about sports medicine, which I was so stoked on. And so different athletes had someone had calf pain, someone had some hip and quad pain. There were a couple people who were having like tibialis anterior pain. And so we were taping them in different ways, or, you know, making recommendations for massage by some of the physical therapists who were there. Lots of people were getting blisters, which makes sense. Right. They're running for 6 days in a row. And so Mandy had a lot of knowledge about blister care. There was another woman, Tanya Olson, who was there on Camille Heron's team. And I believe she is a podiatrist, or she also co-authored a book called Fixing Your Feet that's like literally all about foot care.
She was on Camille's team, on her crew.
Yeah.
Oh, like, wow. There for Camille's feet. That's nice.
How cool is
if
that?
You breaking world records, it would be nice to have that person on your team.
Yeah. So we were doing tons of like wound care, very, very mm-hmm. basic wound care that also got much more elaborate because you have to think about like, you know, blisters can become wounds and wounds can be infected. And so how do you dress a blister so that somebody is not in too much pain that they can't run anymore? And how do you keep it sterile or clean so that you can leave tape on somebody's toes for 6 days so that their blisters are protected, but they don't get infected?
And Maddie, something else I was just thinking of, and Camille was open about this. She posted this publicly on Instagram she was actually given an antibiotic because they thought potentially she had a UTI. She said mm-hmm. she had a loss of function of her organs is how she put it. But I'm curious in that situation, I mean, prescribing meds, you know, during mm-hmm. a race is unusual. This is obviously an unusual event, 6 days of running.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious about those decisions about when to prescribe something, when to call it and say you need to rest or you need to for one day or something, since it's a 6 day event, when to pull the plug. Yeah.
No, it's so true. And they're so like Camille has been very open about this. And you know, you have to think about someone who is trying to break incredible world records, taking the time to go to the bathroom, right? And to literally pull down your pants that takes a lot of time.
Yep.
And so, you know, we were thinking about hygiene and all the sorts of stuff. And then specifically regarding antibiotics, you know, we as medical directors and volunteers are looking at like literally to making sure that what we are considering from a clinical perspective would stay within the guidelines of WADA.
Yeah.
And then thinking about, as in everything, we have to weigh the risks and benefits. And so something like a urinary tract infection can be pretty simple to treat. And there are many antibiotics that can treat a urinary tract infection. And some of them are pretty benign and are not really very risky. And some of them actually can have pretty significant side effects. But then on the flip side of that, like if you leave a urinary tract infection untreated, it can literally climb from the bladder up into the kidneys, and you have kidney infections that are much more systemic. And like that would definitely be something that we would consider pulling an athlete from, especially over the course of a 6 day event. And really, this is one of the things that was so fascinating about Further is that we're seeing things that you just don't see mm-hmm. in a marathon or in a 100-mile race, because people aren't out there long enough. And so it was a really, really, really interesting concept to think about. You know, Leah had also talked about some of her chest pain, and which kind of came up in the back half of the event. And so from an evaluation perspective, we have to think about, like, is this coming from the heart, right? And so taking us back to an emergency mindset. We're working through this differential diagnosis where we consider, yeah, maybe this is an intercostal muscle strain, but also maybe this is
Let's get an EKG,
right? And so this is where, like, they had one of the local ambulance systems available 24/7 for the event, and they had paramedics, a paramedic every 12 hours available. And since they have the capability to record an EKG, then, like, Scott and Andy are, and Emily too, but especially Scott, since he's like from the EM side, you know, we're able to look at it and interpret the EKG, where a paramedic, it's not within their scope of practice to interpret the EKG. And so you're thinking about all of these, like, moving pieces, like, what can we do? But then also, what can we do with that information? How do we interpret that information to make that decision and a recommendation of, like, hey, we helped to determine that Leah didn't have cardiac chest pain. And so from our perspective, it was okay for her to go back out and run. And then she ultimately made the decision not to for the rest of the evening. And so, yeah, it's like, it's a very intimate setting.
It took the guessing away for her. Like, she knew it wasn't cardiac. So then when she went back out the next morning, she knew when she talked about this in another podcast that hopefully you all have listened to, but to me, the guessing part is a big part of, you know, this remote medicine, or, you know, race directing, having the medical directing during races, is just, you have to make these decisions on the fly with very little information. I'm curious of your experience at Further, and if you think what was learned from a medical response perspective, if that will kind of bring, will that change how you are a medical director of a race, or do you think it will give some information for other races? Like, at Western States, will anything change, do you think?
I'm really interested to see. So the answer is, I don't know yet. It's interesting because, like, a marathon here is just, obviously, it's a marathon in a day. And then the only other trail race that I have been able to race direct in this year is that has been the Mammoth Trail Fest, which is back in September, which is also a three-day thing. And it's a little bit different, right? Because you do a race and then you, like, recover and you sleep.
And it's shorter, right? Like, the longest distance is a 50K out of the 3 days.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about, like, how will this experience at Further be different specifically than Western States, mm-hmm. which is 100 miles, right? And 100 miles is a really far distance. That's a long way to run. And so, you know, part of this whole experience for me is kind of learning from these different race directors and medical directors how things are done differently for each type of event. And so I haven't totally started with Andy joining in for the planning stuff for Western States. So I will have to get back to you on this, but I'm
be
excited.
Continued.
Yeah.
Maddie, I want to thank you for coming on to the podcast. This is so fascinating to me. I hope other people listening are also as interested as I am. And just personally, this stuff really gets me excited.
coming from a
first responder medical perspective is really, you know, and what you're doing for our sport is invaluable. And, you know, it's what keeps us going. So thank you, Maddie, for coming on. And I will be seeing you at Western States and at the Trail Fest for sure. So
I am so excited. Thanks so much for having me. This is super fun.
Take care. Bye-bye.